Hey everyone, you're listening to But Why Though the Podcast, the podcast where Kate, Matt, and myself, Adrian, talk about the things people say matter and ask the question, but why though? Before we get started, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcast, or wherever you're listening to us on. It helps people find us, and it helps us find you. And if you want to support us a little more, head over to our Patreon at patreon.com/butwhythoughpc. As one of our lovely patrons, you get access to episodes early, along with show notes, But Why Though swag, and personalized content. But really, we're just happy you're here. Enjoy the show, and welcome to the Familia.
But Why Though the Podcast, and today we are doing our first revisit episode because we know that the worlds that we've been covering are extremely vast and we want to give them all the attention that they deserve. So, with Battle for Azeroth coming out, we're covering WoW again. As always, I'm your host Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And the WoW Blizzard Encyclopedia himself, Elvis.
How's it going?
You want to tell everybody else what else you do?
I work for Stacko. It's a 501c3 nonprofit veteran. I'm sure you've heard me on several of these podcasts before. I'm a program director for suicide prevention and mental health, and we use video games as a way to help provide therapy, care, camaraderie, socialization, and so on.
So I apologize today. This is probably going to have quite a few sniffles in it, and it's not me yelling at Matt before we started recording. But I'm feeling kind of really sick, and we're also recording in a hotel room at QuakeCon. So, yeah, thanks. Adrian will be leading us through as our resident wower. Can I call you a wower?
Sure. I like a wowser.
A wowser? Cooler. A wowser?
I don't know why that sounds better in my head, but,
because of Bowser, maybe?
Yeah.
Adrian, lead us through.
All right, so we'll start with a question. I'm also kind of, sort of, assuming that you've listened to episode 31, our World of Warcraft episode. We'll be doing kind of like a brief like history refresher, but we're going to be really focused on lore today, so I'm just going to assume that you know like the playstyle mechanics, the races, and you know various other things. So for our question today, if you could be any race in the World of Warcraft, what would you be?
I would be a gnome. I only play gnomes. I like gnomes.
He would be an angry ankle biter.
Accurate.
He was complaining earlier today about not being able to type gnomish in the chat.
the kneecap basher.
Yes.
What about you, Kate?
I am currently playing, is it pronounced Draenei?
Draenei,
okay. Yeah, I'm currently playing a Draenei Pally, and I would be a Draenei because they're really pretty. As long as you're the girl. If you're the dude one, it looks really weird. I don't know how they're that different in size.
AKA Russian space goats.
I'm fine with that, honestly. I'm fine with that.
Alien communist.
I'll fight a bear while blue and looking pretty.
What about you, Elvis?
Probably a night elf. That was actually one of my first characters the whole way through. Plus, they have a whole lot of history behind them, between immortality to controlling the afterlife and nature and so on.
So what's the difference between her blue and your blue?
I'm the original blue.
That is also true.
Although we're more of a royal purple.
Oh my god.
Yeah, us gnomes just know that you're blue people on an island.
Draenei are blue because they just keep dying at every planet they go to.
Aww. Wait, did I pick a race that's like...
Oh, no, we're going to talk about
shit?
It.
Yeah,
they run away a lot. Well, I guess not in this last expansion. They've kind of fucked shit up in the last expansion, but like, yeah. And I guess for me, I mean, like, in my heart of hearts, I think I'd want to be a Tauren, just because I think Tauren are cool, and I like Thunderbluff a whole lot.
I hate Thunderbluff.
This is like Thunder... time to talk, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a gnome. You don't even have a city. You share a city. Your city got overrun by leopards. Trolls.
Your whole city is gone by lepers.
That's
leper gnomes. Yeah.
Leper gnomes that are like level 20 and like 30.
Evil people.
What?
That fell a little short.
How many dad joke puns are we going to get this episode?
I don't know. We should start a counter.
If you're at home and not driving or at work, only if you're at home, take a drink every time Elvis has a dad joke pun.
I pray for your liver.
Drink responsibly.
All right, so we'll just jump right into kind of like the overview slash like history refresher of the world of Warcraft, and then we'll get into some lore stuff we'll get into like the changes from our last episode last year, and that because there have been like a lot of changes since we recorded this episode for episode 31, and then we'll get into some lore and some cinematic stuff and all that cool stuff. I'm sure Kate will ask lots of questions, and as will Matt, and I will defer to Elvis as much as I can.
Adrian, didn't the last episode end with you begging Matt and me to play World of Warcraft and Matt saying I will never come back? Do you want to update the listeners?
Yeah, they're both playing again, and it is great. And Matt is a gnome again, which is nice, because we did go back to the Alliance.
Finally.
This just means I can't give you that Alliance mug that Matt accidentally bought.
I know,
anymore.
Right? That's kind of like the worst part about this, but it's okay. As long as Matt's playing a gnome warlock again, that's all is right in the world of Warcraft.
Accurate.
All right, so World of Warcraft is a subscription-based MMORPG, massively multiplayer online role-playing game that is based on the real-time strategy game series Warcraft. For those who don't know, Warcraft was a pretty big RTS. I mean, I remember, like, I know I played Reigns of Chaos and Frozen Throne before I played the other two, but there are four total. So there's Warcraft, Orcs and Humans in 1994, Warcraft 2, Tides of Darkness in 1995, Warcraft 3, Reigns of Chaos in 2002, and the kind of, like, sequel to Warcraft 3, Warcraft 3, The Frozen Throne, which is probably arguably the best one. It was my favorite, and it's kind of like one that's most relevant to the World of Warcraft video game that came out in 2004 and takes place about 4 to 5 years after the events of Warcraft, The Frozen Throne. So the game is kind of like mainly set in Azeroth, which is a fantasy world with like orcs, trolls, dwarves, gnomes, dragons, werewolves, zombies. Basically anything you can think of, this game kind of has that fantasy element, but we've also like been to other worlds and other timelines and all kinds of crazy stuff that we can kind of talk about when we get through the lore, but the main place is Azeroth. It is a two-faction MMO with the Alliance, the humans, night elves, gnomes, dwarves, Draenei, Worgen, which are basically werewolves, and the Pandaren, which are Kung Fu pandas. The Horde consists of orcs, undead, tauren, trolls, goblins, blood elves, and Pandarens. Pandarens are neutral until they choose where they want to go. And the greatest thing about the Pandaren is that, like, I remember, like, when people were so upset they were entered into the game, but they've kind of been in the game for, like, ever, since, like, the Warcraft days, so I don't understand why people were so upset that they were in the game. The bear people in Ashenvale, like, weren't enough bear things. I don't know. Like, there's just, like, such weird stuff in the game. Like, can you really be that surprised that other stuff gets thrown into this game?
I have my first question, though.
Yes.
What's the lore, I guess, like, why is it that Pandarians or Pandarens can choose their faction and aren't locked into one? Like, what's the lore behind that?
Elvis?
So, the entire continent Pandaria was hidden by these mists, and upon discovering it during that expansion, Mists of Pandaria, right after Cataclysm ended, the Horde and Alliance kind of crash landed on their hidden island by accident, and the Pandaren have no real conflict with the Alliance or the Horde. So they kind of follow their heart and essentially their jiggly gut and make a choice, you know, which path they choose to follow. So that's pretty much how the lore kind of led into it. The same thing with Death Knights and Demon Hunters. The same thing. They're able to... Granted, with Death Knight, you can pretty much play any race, but some are locked out of it, as well as Demon Hunters.
And those are classes, right?
Yeah. But they're kind of a race. It's a weird kind of... They're called a hero class, is what they are. Mm-hmm. And with Demon Hunters, you can only either be a Night Elf or a Blood Elf.
Oh.
But either way, you choose your faction.
So then how do we get to the point where paladins can be... Because paladins can be on both sides now, right?
Yes.
Along with shamans, which they were not at the beginning.
True. During the very initial setup, you know, Vanilla WoW, back in the day... Back
the only one that matters, by the way.
Oh my god. This again.
Back in the day, humans created paladins. They created... They had the warriors in plate, and they had the priests, and they found a way to... essentially infuse a warrior with the light, and you had a paladin. And the Tauren and orcs were very close and in tune with nature. I think natives, for example. So shamanistic traditions kind of crept in with it. The oldest race on Azeroth are actually trolls. Like night elves, blood elves, all that evolved from trolls over the history.
That's pretty cool. I do like the way the trolls look.
So why do we have alliance shamans then?
That's just a game change. Because not everybody wanted to play a horde, but have to be a shaman.
That was one of the things I actually really liked, though, that the fact that they had their unique, I guess, classes and, like, races.
Yeah, but as the population grew, business
plan had to change. Which is why. We're talking about lore today, not
when
decisions.
Is old? I would like the listeners at home to take a bet on at what minute Old Man Matt comes out.
He's already here.
He has.
Yeah, he's already here.
What, you had to make a decision? You couldn't just have everything? You're kicking it, too?
Get off my Azeroth.
So we've mentioned a few different expansions. So since 2004, the World of Warcraft has had a few different expansions, and we'll go through them real quick. So the Burning Crusade in 2007, which is my personal favorite expansion. Wrath of the Lich King in 2008. Cataclysm 2010, Mists of Pandaria in 2012, Warlords of Draenor in 2014, Legion in 2016, and by the time you listen to this episode, Battle of Azeroth should be out. So with each expansion comes like a big kind of jump in the lore, which we'll kind of get into as we go through it, and we'll kind of pinpoint like what part spawns like what part of the lore, because we're going to go back and then we're going to kind of catch up to where we're at now. But since our last recording, some kind of big things have happened in the World of Warcraft for Battle of Azeroth, and we'll kind of go through those here real quick. So we got some new races coming out, or we've got some new races that have come out and that will be coming out in Battle of Azeroth. So the Alliance have added the Lightforged Draenei, who are basically like glowy Draenei, which is pretty cool.
I want to be that.
Yeah, they're
it'll take you a long time to get to that, Kate. We have Void Elves, which are both out now, that are unlocked through reputation and kind of like long grinds and quest chains. We have Dark Iron Dwarves and the Kul'tharn Humans, who will both be out in Battles of Azeroth. Dark Iron Dwarves are like literally what their name entails. If you remember going through Uldar or Uldemon, like those are a lot of Dark Iron Dwarves in there. And then the new human race is basically like big fat humans. Which is
different. Yeah, the Dark Iron Dwarves, you fought a lot in Vanilla WoW and Blackrock Spire, Blackrock Depths. They helped bring about Ragnaros, the Fire Lord. And the Kul'tharn Humans, they're actually Jaina Proudmoore, the big powerful mage from all the expansions. Those are her people. She's actually a princess, but she left to go train under the Magi. So. With them moving and staying away from all the action of the Alliance and the war and pretty much doing on their own, their navy is compared to no other. And they're used to hunting monsters, so those people kind of have evolved a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're actually much bigger and sturdier type of people. Like
That's
the
cool.
the image that you have of Popeye, like these big burly sailors, that's what they are.
That's pretty cool.
Even the women.
That's really cool. I like that because I was picking up my class. I was like, why are the women so teeny tiny compared to how like bulky the dudes are? I like that.
They're like an island full of Zaras.
That's awesome.
And Rags, the card, and Hearthstone that yells die insect.
I know, and Jaina Proudmoore is the mage that you play.
Yeah. Help you out there.
Oh no, I knew. But only because of Hearthstone.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but they can only be... Are they only druids in the expansion so far, right?
Who's that?
The humans?
Yeah.
I think so. I think you should be able to play like warriors and other human-type classes like that. But I don't know enough about them yet. Because right now, the ones that are out are the Void Elves and Lightborn Draenei.
Yeah. So a lot of stuff have come out for them, but all we really know is that their druid forms are pretty dope looking. Like, they're like different than anything that we've had before. And they look cool. Like, I really hope they could be warlocks, because I want to roll my warlock into one, because they're big. And then we have the Horde allied races are the High Mountain Tauren, the Nightborn, which are both out now, and then we have the Zandalari Trolls, and the Maghar Orcs will also be available in Battle for Azeroth through questing or reputation things in Battle of Azeroth. So four new races have been added since the last time we spoke, and they're not kind of given to you. You kind of have to work a little bit to unlock these ones. It's not like when the Blood Elves and the Draenei came out where you could just pick them. You have to kind of work a little bit for, you have to work a little bit for them.
And the Nightborn are who?
Are
they just like their own race, or are they like one of those like added on things?
Yeah, well, they're in. Yeah, go for it.
They are a branch of Night Elves.
Actually. Oh.
Okay. So you have Night Elves were the original race of Elves, and the Holy version, the Holier Than Thou version, like, these are my race kind of people, became the Nightborn. The Blood Elves broke away from the Night Elves after the Moon Well was destroyed, and they drew their power from the Sun Well. Which is why their race changed and like the bright sunnier look to them. Because they draw their power from the sun well. While Night Elves draw their power from darkness, from the moon. So the moon wells.
Yeah. And once again, elves are racist.
Yeah.
And Kil'Thurans are just druids.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Is it because they're void elves? With the sea?
I would assume so.
And then the void elves are they draw their power from the void, which we'll talk about a little bit later on during like the lore and stuff, but they're like, they kind of look like cracked out night elves, basically. It's like the best way I can explain how they look.
And the very first void elf has a very important role with Sylvanas, the void leader.
Yeah, they're related.
They're sisters.
And Sylvanas, just to make sure I'm clear, is a really badass person from the...
She is now the Banshee Queen.
So, yeah, the one that we saw at PAX East where I was like, holy crap, this is really cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Battle for Azeroth trailer. Yeah, that's her.
Yeah, she's a terrible person. I hate her.
She looks so awesome, and I love her.
She's extremely powerful, but she has a very tragic story.
All right, so another thing that was added is scaling zones. And this is, I'm mainly putting this in for, like, if you're like, oh, 120... I don't want to go through leveling on through 120 levels in Battle of Azeroth. It's a little bit easier than it was last year at this time. So the scaling zones, basically after the starting zones, most of the zones are going to scale 1 through 60, which kind of lets you quest at your own leisure and kind of do the dungeon finder stuff like that. So you're not rushed to kind of move out of zones. I don't know how it's been affecting you two, Matt and Kate, since you guys are kind of going through it right now, but I know when I was doing it, it kind of felt a lot less pressure to kind of finish off zones and kind of be a completionist and kind of just like let me go through the motions. So another big change is how they did the server. So in our last recording, there was multiple kinds of servers. So there was PvE servers and player versus player servers where you can also PvE. There's were role-playing servers. There were role-playing PvP servers. But now there's just normal servers and role-playing servers. So essentially what happens is you can opt into doing world PvP with war mode. And doing war mode gives you benefits like 10% increased XP and it kind of lets and reputation and quest gains and things like that. But it also like lets you fight Horde or Alliance depending on what side you're on. So the... PvP aspect is a lot more balanced than it used to be, because I remember being on servers like where we were just kind of overrun by the opposite faction, and then you couldn't really do anything without getting just wrecked by people. But from my experience playing in the war mode, it's definitely a lot more balanced now than it used to be back in the day. Another big thing is that there's a big-ass sword sticking out of the world right now. From the events of the last raid, which we'll kind of get to in the end of our lore as we kind of wrap back to present day. And the other big thing is that the Alliance or Horde are fighting again. As the name Battle for Azeroth, or Battle for Azeroth kind of lets you know that the Horde and Alliance are back at it once again, because they can never just be nice to each other. Mainly because Sylvanas is a terrible person, but you know, we'll get into that.
Any rebuttal for that?
No.
All right, so I tried to kind of find like the most kind of condensed version of like the history of the World of Warcraft. If there's like any questions you have, ask, and I'm sure myself or Elvis will be able to kind of fill in the gaps. But there's like a lot of history, like a lot of history for the game. So in my opinion, everything kind of starts 25,000 years ago from like the current events of the game with the Dark Titan Sargeras, who basically betrayed the Titans when he found out that there was a plot from the Void Lords, from the Void, to kind of basically poison the worlds that created the Titans and basically like take out the Titans. To kind of avoid this, he basically just wanted to like purge all life. So he was like Thanos, but instead of 50%, he was like 100%. And he was just like, kill everything, and then we don't have to worry about anything. And the Pantheon was like, the Pantheon of Titans were like, nah, we don't want to do that. And then he basically got pissed and left, and then got a bunch of demons and fought the Pantheon of Titans to kind of help his plan of basically killing everything come to fruition. So Titans are essentially gods, like these cosmic beings that are so powerful that they're considered gods in the game. So they have been around for basically since the creation of time, and they walk the universe, shaping planets, shaping worlds. Their spirits are called world souls that live in the center of planets. This is important because during Sargeras' betrayal versus the Pantheon of Titans, he's told that the world soul of Azeroth, the planet that we are all playing on, would one day be powerful enough to defeat the Void. He's like, hey, don't kill everybody. Like, there's going to be another Titan, another power to stop the things you're worried about. Sargeras said fuck it and killed everybody anyway, or like imprisoned everybody anyway. It was like, all right, I'm out. After he kind of overthrew the Pantheon of Titans, he needed to replenish his forces, so he found these Iridar, who you might recognize by name. So we have Velen, Kil'jaeden, and Archimon. So Velen is the current leader of the Draenei in our timeline. If he rings a bell, he's like the big guy who holds like the big staff with like, you know, that goes into like a, his staff is super dope. I want his staff. And they were on a planet called Argus that basically the events of Legion has been taking place on for the last 2 years. So Sargeras came to them and was like, hey, you can bring peace and power. I can promise you all this stuff. It's going to be lovely and golden. And Velen was like, nah, I can see the future, bro. This is not how it's going to go down. But Kil'jaeden and Archimon said, now we want that power. So basically, they get corrupted, and Kil'jaeden becomes basically the kind of the recruiter of like finding dark races and kind of bringing them towards the Burning Legion. And then Archimon is basically like the general and goes out and just kills anything that kind of fights against the Dark Titan, Sargeras's kind of wishes and things like that. And this is where we kind of get into the dark history of the Draenei and kind of like how they can't find any happiness in the world. Velen basically takes off in a spaceship, transdimensional kind of spaceship thing, and he bounces around a whole bunch and eventually gets to Azeroth, but that's like after he kind of goes to Draenor and then like gets persecuted by orcs and like all this other kinds of stuff that's really messed up. Yeah.
So Draenei aren't from Azeroth?
No, they're from Argus. Spent some time in Draenor.
Yeah, they're came from to Argus Azeroth. And they bounced around for thousands of years until they landed on Draenor. When they landed on Draenor, the orcs were kind of peaceful with them, let them alone, even traded, but they let each other alone. The Nauru followed them around, So what happened was one of the Naru, the holy beings of light, actually approached Velen back on Argus to warn him of what was going on between Kil'jaeden, Sargeras, and Argamon. So Velen heeded that warning of the Naru, gathered people up and left. So when they left, they bounced around, and Sargeras, Kil'jaeden, and Archimonde were tracking them down from planet to planet for thousands of years. So Velen's is thousands of years old.
Yeah.
So when they made it to Draenor, things were very peaceful among everybody. But rather than another full-on assault, Kil'jaeden decided to slowly corrupt the orcs. Mind games. Instead of Kil'jaeden sending demons in to invade the planet, he'll slowly start messing with the orcs instead, because he noticed the orcs were very powerful creatures on their own right. The Naru, there's a very holy site in Draenor. And what helped kick this off is, so the orcs are very old school, very traditional, they believe in their ancestors and trust and all that kind of stuff. The Naru can help reveal some of their ancestors' spirits and things like that. So where one of the ships crash landed, there was a Naru in the ship. So the orc ancestors would come by, or the orcs would come by and celebrate their ancestors with their spirits and stuff like that. When Velen approached one of the leaders of the orcs and told them that they had different tribes, they don't always get along.
Yeah.
They said, hey, this is also a Naru. This is who he is. They got offended. That's when Kil'jaeden noticed there's essentially a chink in their friendly armor.
Yeah.
And slowly started to corrupt their mind. Like, hey, the Draenor are going to start doing this to you. They're taking your food. They're going to, you know, destroy your ancestors kind of thing. And the orcs didn't like that. Then there was this gigantic butthole of an orc called Ner'zhul. He was also a necromancer who eventually became one of the first warlocks, who was eventually corrupted by the fell power and everything else, which actually will take place and involve the Lich King later on. All this isn't tied to each other. Sargeras and this whole fell thing, the void, the darkness, the void, the old gods, which we haven't mentioned yet, which are part of what's pissed off Sargeras and everything else. Essentially, he went on this full-on righteous crusade to purge everything of the void. Didn't matter what it was. Not every planet has a soul of a Titan in it. The Titans themselves don't know which planet do until they get near it. But the void can actually pick up on the souls and where they're located at. So for millennia, they were going around planet to planet, destroying all life on it. When the Titans discovered stuff on Azeroth, the world soul in Azeroth, there were three old gods already attacking it. And the Titans tried to, Amenthul was one of them, he ripped an old god from the planet itself, but he noticed if he was going to continue doing so, he was going to destroy the planet altogether. So they actually imprisoned him. All this eventually leads down the road to current present day, including things on Draenor, which are in an alternate universe.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
So like while all that stuff's going on Azeroth, and Albus has mentioned a little bit about this, about like the Well of Eternity and things like that. You have the War of the Ancients about 10,000 years ago. So an ancient race called the Night Elves, as Elvis mentioned, recklessly pursue the use of arcane magic and manipulate the powers of the Well of Eternity. The efforts catch the attention of Sargeras, the fallen Titan. War erupts between the Night Elves and the demonic hordes of Sargeras' Burning Legion. The Well of Eternity is destroyed, and the Great Sundering splits the continent of Kalimdor, which essentially, so like if you're ever like wondering like why like the world is split the way it is, it's basically because of this event. And then the world tree of Norgesil is created. Any insight on that, Elvis? Or before Kay has a question, sorry.
Yeah, one, I see so many different links from different mythologies, which is cool. Why are the Night Elves so okay? This might just be being stupid, but aren't like the Alliance supposed to be the good guys and the Hordes be like the bad guys?
Not necessarily.
Because like the Night Elves sound like entire dicks.
Like, well, this is like way before the Alliance ever forms.
The Orcs weren't even here yet.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no. Yeah, like I was saying, like this is like while this is going on Azeroth, this is what's happening on Azeroth while all that stuff is going on Draenor.
Okay, so this is essentially just a certain point of view then.
This takes place. So what happened was you had the Well of Eternity, which is a gigantic magical pool of energy, of mana, essentially. The queen at the time of the Night Elves was Ashara, who is a complete asshole as well.
Yeah, she sucks.
Which she's actually making a big return. She had a return in Legion. She's making a huge return in Battle for Azeroth. She has her own Warbringer video coming up soon on YouTube, probably within the next couple of days, because Battle for Azeroth is about to release. So that's going to be a fun one to watch. So they were very big into arcane energy, as well as they're very big into druidic energy. The thing about the Night Elves I think you'll like are the fact that all their guards and sentinels and things like that, they're all women.
That's cool.
They train all the women to be either really big fighters or they choose to be a priestess.
Yeah, so it's essentially like if you like ever go to, well, I guess you can't really go to Darnassus right now because it's kind of like in flames, but like if you ever go to like the Night Elf area, you'll see like all these chick Night Elves on tigers. So it's essentially kind of like how... It's essentially kind of like how in Black Panther, their female warriors are kind of... Yeah, it's basically like that, but like for the Night Elves is like, I think, the easiest way to kind of... Okay, so we'll go on. So we've talked a little bit about what we're going to talk about next with like kind of like the highborn elves kind of going into and transforming into like the Blood Elves. But about 6,800 years ago... Quel'Thalas is founded. So the highborn sorcerers of the Night Elf Society are banished from Kalimdor for, continuing to go after the arcane magic. The banished Night Elves arrive in the Eastern Kingdoms, transforming into High Elves. The High Elf Elf Kingdom of Quel'Thalas is founded, and then the High Elves use the Vial of Water from the Well of Eternity to create a new font of power, calling it the Sun Well, and then through kind of like the repeated use of the Sun Well, become the Blood Elves, and the leader of the Blood Elves basically becomes a dick later on, and we'll get into that a little bit later.
He does. Now, where they get the vials of from the Well of Eternity is actually from Illidan. So Illidan sold himself to the Legion to become the first demon hunter, essentially. Fell into the Night Elf kind of thing. But that came a little bit later on. He loved his people so much that he was willing to sacrifice everything. Before the Well of Eternity was destroyed completely, he took 6 vials of Well of Eternity water, essentially. After the danger that they saw that happened with the arcane magic and Well of Eternity and all that, Malfurion, who was the brother of Illidan, decided no more arcane. It's just pure nature and druidic from this point on, or priestess healing magic. So when they landed to where they are now, Darnassus, Teldrassil area, they had to break away because over near Hyrule and all that other area, he dumped a vial into the water to turn it into another Well of Eternity. And they almost killed him on the spot. So as he was being carried away, one of the vials was dropped. And one of the people being banned also had a vial himself. Illidan was locked away in prison rather than being killed because he's Malfurion's brother. And Malfurion runs the Night Elves. Since Queen Ashara is no longer a Night Elf, but that's another story. Go ahead.
I'm learning so much.
Are you?
I am, and then I hear names like Malfurion, I'm like, Arsta. Okay, context. No. It helps. I have like a picture in my head.
Oh, and there's a love triangle there too. Between Malfurion
and
Tyrande.
Oh, yeah. All right, so we'll move on to the Troll Wars, which I'm not super versed on because I really don't care too much about the trolls, but I'm sure because I'm just like still salty. I never got my tiger from Zul'Grub, so like I started not caring about trolls after after vanilla. So at 2,800 years ago, we have the Troll Wars. The High Elves of Quel'Thalas fight a brutal conflict with the native Amani trolls of the region. The human tribes join together to form the great nation of Arthor. Facing certain defeat, the High Elves ally themselves with the humans to combat the Troll Menace. Like, calling the Troll Menace is kind of messed up, because, like, they were kind of there just chilling. Like,
they were just there being trolls.
Yeah, that was kind of messed up. The High Elves teach select humans magic in exchange for their aid. The Amani trolls are defeated. So, a little over 230 years ago, we have the War of the Three Hammers, and this involves the dwarves. So, in the mountain peaks of Kazmodan, the dwarven High King Modus Anvilmar dies, and civil war erupts. So, like, just like how, like, lore happens with all dwarves, like, these dwarves are, like, the same, too. Like, there's lots of infighting. Like, these dudes hardly ever get along. So, three dwarf clans fight. The Bronzebeard, the Wildhammer, and the Dark Iron Dwarves, which we mentioned earlier as being a new allied race in Battle of Azeroth. The Bronzebeard clan emerges the victor and takes control of the capital city of Ironforge. And that was true for a while. Now, there's, like, a kind of triumvirate of dwarves... Dark Iron Dwarf, a dwarf, and a Nomragon gnome. So your gnomes do lead stuff, Matt, in the World of Warcraft now. So this kind of brings it.
I almost made a dwarf and I almost made a gnome, but I couldn't make them brown, so I didn't make either.
You live in the snow.
I don't care.
The dwarves and gnomes are actually ancient races from Titans.
They're so tiny.
Yeah.
Especially him.
They were all tiny engineers from Titans back in the day until they were cursed with the Curse of Flesh.
Hmm.
So dwarves, Titans, and humans weren't even supposed to be fleshy. They were supposed to be made of nothing but stone. So they were created by Titans to help aid them in the battle, and their protectors and generals. But the old gods found a weakness by cursing them with the Curse of Flesh.
Hmm. We are smart little engineers.
We'll make that man.
Yeah, so, like, the big thing was this is, like, one of the main dwarves actually, like, turns... Like, we'll talk about that, like later on, because that'll get into a whole other thing. dwarves are basically cool, and I would make one if they weren't so short. So, basically, at the start of kind of what we know as more or less present day, like, not, like, World of Warcraft vanilla present day, but kind of close to the start of that, we have the First War, where Sargeras launches his... attack on Azeroth using the orcs from Draenor that were kind of corrupted by the Fel as his pawns. Orc forces spill through the magical gateway called the Dark Portal, which links Azeroth to Draenor, and then the orcs leave a swath of devastation in their wake. So, like, this is kind of, sort of, like, this. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie, but, like, this is kind of, sort of, a little bit related.
Yeah, I watched it on HBO. It's on HBO right now.
Oh, I need to go watch it again. But just like the orc parts, that's it.
I love the movie. I know it's not fully taught to the story, but no real movie is.
Yeah.
It comes to an actual book or anything.
It was a really pretty movie.
It was a really good movie.
I just wish there was a step of animation. If they do, it's kind of going full live action.
So, according to BlizzCon last year, if they were to actually do a full-on animation movie like that, it would take them at least 8 to 9 years.
They're on year 14.
Which is, like, ironic because it took them 8 or 9 years to get Warcraft, like, done. And I remember them announcing...
They could have done it.
And I remember them announcing the Warcraft movie at BlizzCon 2. Like...
I also didn't know that Daniel Wu was in it.
Yeah. He is.
He's the troll, isn't he?
The orc?
The orc. Yeah, not the troll.
Yeah.
The big orc.
I was like, there's trolls? I don't remember there being trolls in that movie.
Not the troll, the orc. Yeah. The big, toothy person.
Okay.
Why would it take 8 years for them to do an entire animated movie?
Because animation's a lot of work. How to Train Your Dragons... How to Train Your Dragons has been in development for about 5 years now.
And have you seen the high quality work they do on just the short anime they do now?
Did you see Zappy Boy? God damn, Zappy Boy looked good.
Just go analysis
exactly. Okay, so year 5 we have the fall of Stormwind, and that is Stormwind from World of Warcraft, not Stormwind from Overwatch. So the kingdom of Stormwind is unable to withstand the might of the Orcish Horde. King Lane Rin is assassinated, and the capital city Stormwind is razed. The survivors, including young Prince Varen Wrenn and Sir Anduin Lothar, flee to the north kingdom of Lordaeron. Lothar tells King Menethil II of Stormwind's fall and the impeding Orcish assault. They unite the human seven kingdoms and later the dwarves and the gnomes and the high elves and basically form the Alliance of Lordaeron to combat the bloodthirsty forces of the Horde. So there's a lot of names here, but essentially, like, this is basically the first time the Alliance comes together. And the Menethils are important because the Menethil family is what spawns Arthas, and he becomes the Lich King. And the Wren family is basically who've been kings of Stormwind for a long time. And he is Wren, the current king of Stormwind, is the priest guy who does all the stuff in the cinematics. That is Varian Wren's son.
You remember in the movie that Paula Patton's character?
Yeah.
You know, she's actually half Draenei, half orc.
Oh.
A lot of people think she's half human, half orc. She's half.
I thought she was half. Well, orc. I guess I said half human because doesn't the movie call her half human, half orc?
No, they don't really call her that. They assume that they play the story out that. The Magi had an affair with the orc while he was over in Draenor for the portal thing. But in the actual lore, she's half Draenei, half orc.
Oh. Okay.
So when she was being saved back in the day, Gul'dan, who is the big warlock bad guy who we just can't kill forever, expansions until now, finally, in two different multiverses, but whatever.
Can't just kill the warlocks off, man.
So when he was raising her, from when she was young, he actually put dark magic and fell magic in her mind to mind control her. So when the humans actually caught her and showed her kindness and she did what she could, she was actually a very well-trained assassin. So when she was in King Lang's presence in the throne room, Gul'dan could see everything she was seeing and understand what she was saying and talking about, and he controlled her to assassinate King Wren in the throne room. So in the movie, they kind of like do this heroic, like, you have to kill me, they'll save you, kind of thing. No, in the actual story itself, she does it in the throne room because he's thinking that everything is okay. And she's crying and apologizing to him because she can't control herself.
Yeah.
And she kills him. But she ends up later on in the story, not that particular one, but current day, she actually works for a League of Assassins as an ally to us.
That's cool.
Yep. So a year later, we have the start of the Second War. So after a brutal and bloody fight, the Alliance of Lordaeron triumphs over the Horde at Blackrock Spire. Anduin Lothar is slain by the Orc War Chief Ogryn Doomhammer, who is also a dick. General Terulian leads the forces of the Alliance later after Lord Lothar's death, and crushes the remnants of the Horde armies. The remaining orcs round up and are placed in internment camps, and the dark portal is destroyed. So, like, when you're talking about, like, if the Alliance are good or not, they legit put orcs in internment camps after the Second War for, like, a long time.
That's fucked.
Yeah.
Also.
Is it though?
Yes.
Well, I mean, they not were really. Attacked and they overran
they
their
They invaded
seat.
Azeroth from a portal to destroy everybody. The orc did it for survival because Draenor has been destroyed.
So all of the orcs that are there are ones who had attacked them.
I mean, that's like, but then you have like Thrall, who's like raised in an internment camp, and he didn't do anything bad. He was just a dude who was just raised in an internment camp,
okay,
and like made to fight. My thing is like there's like gray areas, and like the Alliance aren't inherently good, and the Horde aren't inherently bad. Is like my point.
So
except now, like Sylvanas is a dick, like. There's no rhyme or reason to what she's doing.
So the orcs' invasion was all about survival.
Uh-huh.
But they don't know peace. They just know of conquering war. That's their thing. They're Vikings, essentially. So Draenor was being destroyed by fel energy and fel magic, and it just pretty much ate up the whole world. So they had to flee Draenor to somewhere else. Well, Gul'dan was working on a bigger plan, and so was Kil'jaeden and Archimonde and Sargeras, which is why they came to Azeroth specifically, because of that world soul. So as they were invading, they were doing it. The orcs thought they were doing it for righteous cause, for self-preservation. Gul'dan and Sargeras and everybody else had bigger plans. They were doing it to remove the Night Elves, because by then the Night Elves had already destroyed Archimonde once before, by using Wisp 10,000 years ago during the War of the Ancients.
That's even sadder. Because it's like they were manipulated into doing
that's what I'm saying. Like they, were just chilling.
They survive.
Well, yeah, when you look at the big picture. But if you're in Stormwind, you just know a bunch of orcs come running at you and overthrow and start killing your city.
That's like all of a sudden the Russians invading the U.S. because there's nothing left to live in Russia for.
But you're going to just let them go back to Draenor and then still destroy the Dark Portal and been done with it.
Yeah.
And then they could have never come back.
What Adrian said.
But you placed them in internment camps and made them fight in pits. Like
wait,
Thrall.
What?
Yeah.
Gladiator status later.
Yeah.
So we talked so much.
I'm like, and we're not even like partway through these modes, so I'll stop like asking questions and stuff. But like,
Elvis talked about it a little bit. So, like, what happens next, like, basically, Elvis is right. So, we have Ner'zhul doing, like, his thing, and he talked a little bit about him earlier. And basically, like, Draenor blows up and becomes the Outland, which is, like, the world that we go to, or, like, the realm that we go to in the Burning Crusade expansion. So, a little bit later on, the orcs held in the Alliance internment camps are freed by Ogryn Doomhammer, Grom Hellscream, and Thrall. And Thrall later becomes the war chief of the orcs, but his story is that he was raised as a slave and gladiator. You actually play through kind of like his freeing story in one of the instances in World of Warcraft, so it's actually kind of really cool to kind of see like how he kind of got his stuff together and got out of the slavery that the Alliance put him in. Okay, so now we have the third...
He was helped by a human.
Yeah, he was. Yeah,
which
me.
Is why he became
me. I did that.
A righteous leader of the Horde because he didn't view the humans as everyone being evil kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because he knew, he realized there were good humans and there were bad humans.
Yeah. Also.
Yeah. So essentially, how the incident goes, Cade, like if you're playing Horde, basically if you're playing like any race that wasn't in that time frame, they basically like transform you into like a human. And make you go like do the instance, which is kind of cool because it has like the time jump stuff instances.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to go back like as a human and kind of go through that
also,
instance.
Like unrelated but kind of related, is Doomhammer the same thing as Doomfist?
No.
Okay.
So then we have basically the events of Warcraft, the Frozen Throne, with the Third War, where the Burning Legion launches another assault again. On Azeroth, but this time they use the Lich King. The Purge of the Undeath spreads throughout the Kingdom of Lordaeron, resulting in the rise of the Scourge in Lordaeron. Princess Arthas Menethil of the family that we talked about earlier, from like kind of that original forming of the Alliance, falls to the corruption, taking up the cursed Runeblade Frostmourne, and the murdering of his king, King Menethil II. The Sunwell is defiled, and the Demon Lord Archimonde is summoned into Azeroth. Remember Archimonde, that dickhead who drank the Kool-Aid. many survivors flee to Kalimdor, and including humans led by Lady Jaina Proudmoore, and the orcs led by Thrall. So like that's probably like one of like the best storylines I think of kind of like the fall of Arthas Menethil into the Lich King, which is really really great. There's a lot of stuff.
One of the best storylines. Not just Lich King, just the whole story altogether. Between Warcraft from the Throne to World of Warcraft, the Return of Lich King, Revenge of Lich King.
So like the events of him basically kind of like even have like ramifications to like today. So he kind of like, he's like the one who killed Sylvanas Windrunner and basically turns her into a banshee. And like she watches him raise her city and like kill her family and stuff. So he's kind of a dick.
Okay, so Ner'zhul really hit us up here, his cryptogenes and all them. So they ripped his soul from his body and infused it to Frostmourne and to the helmet of the Lich King. One of the planets that Sargeras took over was the planet of the Nathrezim, which are super powerful and super intelligent demons. So during this time frame, he took a Nathrezim and planted him on Azeroth to use it to begin start mind controlling, working on a way to turn people into a lich, and so forth. And at that time, Ner'zhul still kind of controlled the dead at the time, even though he was sitting in Northrend as a weapon and helmet. And Arthas was chasing the wrong person the entire time. He thought he had to chase down the Nathazim. He thought that was the only cause of it. Which eventually led him to the helmet and to the sword of Frostmourne, which turns him into the Lich King eventually, and that whole story takes place. It's really sad. Essentially, Arthas was trapped inside his own mind. It's a really dark story.
All of this is really dark. That's all I'm learning.
This is probably one of the darkest stories out there, though.
Yeah, it's super dark. Like, yeah. He goes into his he goes into Lordaeron and straight up murders his dad. Like,
oh wow,
yeah, after and then like range, burns the yeah. city to the ground. And you can also play through like kind of like his fall also in instances where you kind of like go through like as he's trying to purge Lordaeron. It's really dark. It's super dark. So from this we move on to the Battle of Mount Hyjal, which is basically. So on Calendor, the Orc established a new home on Durotar, allying with the Darkspear Trolls, which is the trolls that we know today, and the Tauren, basically becoming the horde that we know of. The survivors of Calendor are brought together by the Prophet Medivh, who we see in the Warcraft movie. He's really weird, and that's a whole other thing about how weird that guy is. And they unite against Archimonde's onslaught. Archimonde is defeated at Mount Hyjal, but the World Tree of Nordrassil is badly damaged, resulting in the Night Elves losing their immortality. Which is obviously not good.
Yeah.
So then we have the Rise of the Lich King. So Arthas Menethil travels to Northrend. Former High Elf Ranger General turned Banshee, Sylvanas Rinrunner, who was killed by Arthas, which you see in the Warbringer Sylvanas. Or like kind of, you see that all this stuff happen. She takes control of Lordaeron and the Forsaken and basically becomes their queen for a while. Arthas ascends the Ice Crown Glacier, shattering the Frozen Throne and taking his place as a Lich King. Basically, he puts on the helmet and kind of infuses with the kind of trapped, you know, essence that that Elvis was mentioning. Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing in Burning Crusade that happens towards the end of the expansion is that the Blood Elf kind of ruler Kel'thas Sunstrider of the Blood Elves allies with the Burning Legion and tries to bring Kil Jaeden to Azeroth using the Sunwell. So basically we have to go in there and like kick both of their asses to prevent like this from happening.
And they think that Illidan is actually controlling all this and trying to bring down the world and destroy everything. When, again, it's just a mistaken... It's good in theory, but bad in practice.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, Illidan is like not a bad dude. Like he was like, yeah, he's. I mean, he's kind of like I don't know. He's definitely like an anti-hero. If, like they're
like bad things from good intentions.
Yeah. Like the means justify the ends.
Yeah.
So then we have the Wrath of the Lich King expansion, where basically the Lich King launches assault on Azeroth, attacking Stormwind and Orgrimmar. Alliance and Horde forces have to join together and travel to Northwind to combat the Lich King. The Argent Crusade is established. The Death Knight defectors from the Lich King's armies form the Ebon Blade, aligning with either the Alliance or the Horde, which we kind of talked about earlier at the top of the episode. And then Garrosh Hellscream is sent to lead the Horde forces in Northrend, and eventually we beat Lich King on the throne. Very, very, very fun fight, I think. I love that fight so much.
Fun fact, in the new video, Old Warrior, with Sourfang, you know, he's holding a son?
Yeah.
That was his son that died during the Battle of Lich King. Lich King thought it would be funny to turn Sourfang's son against him.
Yeah, you have to fight Sourfang's son in, like, before you fight Lich King, you fight Sourfang's son.
So it's even sadder.
So yeah, it just keeps getting sadder.
The animation.
You want to know something that's like really, really interesting? And I think it's like this is like a good place to throw it in now that we're done talking about the Lich King. If you've ever seen the World of Warcraft or the Warcraft 3 cinematic where Arthas goes in there to kill his dad, it is like shot for shot the scene where Anduin goes in there to kill Sylvanas. It's like really, really good storytelling and kind of throwing it back to like the old days. So like if you ever get a chance, I'm pretty sure we can find one if we put one in the show notes. Like the side by side comparison, and like the cinematics were good even back then. So like that's kind of the power of the foresight.
That's cool.
All right, so after the events of Northrend, we have the Cataclysm, which is a kind of literal and figurative, like, world-shattering event. So Thrall steps down from his position as War Chief and appoints Garrosh Hellscream as a new leader of the Horde. The former dragon aspect, Deathwing, bursts into Azeroth from the elemental plane, shattering the surface of the world as tensions between the Alliance and Horde continue to build. Like, this dude, like, literally bursts through the planet and, like, reshapes the world, basically, because he's so badass and huge and stuff. Like, creates hurricanes and earthquakes and all kinds of stuff, basically, as he busts through.
Yeah, he was one of the original dragon aspects of Earth.
Yeah, so at the same time, we have the Worgen of Gilneas, basically the werewolves, join the Alliance, and the goblins of the Bilgewater Cartel join the Horde. The Elemental Lords Ragnaros and Alakir are slain, as well as Cho'Gall, the leader of the Twilight Cult. The dragon aspects expand their power to kill Deathwing at the end of the expansion and basically use up all their power and basically usher in the Age of the Mortals, because basically, at this point, all of the immortals on Azeroth are no longer immortal, so the Age of Mortals begins. From Warlords of Draenor, or from Cataclysm, we move into Mists of Pandaria, and we talked a little bit about the what happens in Mists of Pandaria. So we have an all-out war erupts between the Alliance of Horde, which happens like literally every single time an expansion ends. Like, these dudes just fight. But this time, it happens because the War Chief, Garrosh Hellscream, who is an orc, destroys the city of Theramore, which is where Jaina Proudmoore called her home. Archmage Ronan dies, and Lady Jaina Proudmoore takes her place as the leader of the Karantor, which is basically the council of the most powerful mages in Azeroth. Pandarian residents of the Wandering Isle ally both with the Alliance and the Horde, as the continent of Pandaria is discovered completely by accident. The Shah on Pandaria is released, and the Thunder King Lei Shin is resurrected. Garrosh orders the assassination of the Darkspear leader Vol'jin, the troll leader. Jaina forcibly removes the Horde from Dalaran, throwing the magnocratic city-state support behind the Alliance. Vol'jin begins the Darkspear Rebellion, pitting the Horde against Horde, and the Alliance covertly assists the Darkspear rebels and the Horde defeat Garrosh Hellscream. So basically what happens is Garrosh Hellscream like just loses his shit and starts like mana bombing everybody. So the Horde and the Alliance come together again and basically lead a siege on Olgrimmar to overthrow Garrosh Hellscream. So, spoiler alert, we do it. We overthrow Garrosh Hellscream. And in the Warlords of Draenor expansion, at the end of Mists of Pandaria, Garrosh Hellscream is overthrown as War Chief of the Horde by the combined force of the Alliance and the Horde. And much to, like, the dismay of Jaina Proudmoore, like, wanted to, like, to slaughter all of the Horde, like, right there on the spot. They make friends, and then they take Garrosh Hellscream to Pandaria to stand trial. But before he can stand trial, he basically escapes captivity through a renegade bronze dragon and travels. And this is where we get the time jump stuff. He basically travels to the world of Draenor 35 years in the past prior to raise like a new version of the Horde. And as soon as they arrive on Draenor, Garrosh kills the guy who was kind of helping him out, and then proceeds to change history, preventing Grommash from drinking the blood of the demon lord Menoroth. He's like this giant four-legged beast thing. He's scary looking. And this basically kind of rewrites history in a way. And so instead of getting like the orcs from the first and second war, we get the Iron Horde. So basically we have to kind of go back and defeat this new version of Horde in Warlords of Draenor.
So do we like this time travel or not?
I personally didn't. I didn't like having to go back and kill the same shit I've already killed before. I thought it was dumb. I didn't like it at all.
I enjoyed it for the storyline itself. The fact that you get to see a different point of view from what you didn't see before. All the green orbs that you see, like you've been seeing in Warcraft for years, are actually tainted orcs. Their original colors, like browns and blacks and dark earth colors kind of thing. Mm-hmm. When they drink the blood of Menoroth, they did it to help increase their power and size and war abilities, which have been too painted with the green. So we get to see them here and want to keep a more pure race to create a pure iron horde. No fell, nothing like that. We create our own. We are slaves to nobody. It's always been about survivability. That's all it is. They just want to survive. Even when they're not challenged, they still feel like they have to do everything to survive.
Yeah.
And like the big thing with this, and it starts a new timeline. So like you kill stuff, but like you killed it like an alternate timeline. So it's kind of still alive and then kind of still like not alive. But eventually, you know, we defeat, you know, the Iron Horde and then we move into Legion. So following the defeat of Archimon at Hellfire Citadel, because we had to go back to like some of the instances and some of the raids that we went through Burning Crusade. He's defeated an alternate timeline in Draenor. The Orc Warlock Gul'dan, who we've talked about a bunch, is transported back to the main timeline in Azeroth. Then Gul'dan invades the Vault of the Wardens, a prison used to contain the dangerous beings across Azeroth. In desperation, the Wardens release the Eldari, the demon hunters that use fell power to help against the Burning Legion. Gul'dan traveled to the nearby tomb of Sargeras and opened a massive portal, therefore allowing the Burning Legion to invade Azeroth once again. The demonic invasion spawned throughout Azeroth, with both the Alliance and the Horde fighting to defend their lands. And at the end of the expansion, through a lot of infighting and, you know, main characters dying and things like that, the players go to Argus and basically fight against Sargeras. And as they kill him, or as they defeat Sargeras, and the Titans are beginning to pull him back to Argus to kind of like stand judgment and do all that good stuff, Sargeras basically throws his big ass sword at Azeroth in like spite. And now there's a big ass sword hanging out of Azeroth. And this is important because at this point, Azeroth is basically bleeding. And as we talked about, like Azeroth has a world soul. So it's basically bleeding this stuff called Azerite, which both the Horde and the Alliance are desperately trying to kind of amass because it holds like this power that makes you stronger and all of this stuff. And it can be used in weapons and all of this really interesting things that each side thinks that they're going to use for weapons, even if that might not be the case. That's what both sides think. So after basically the events after Sargeras, we have all of the events that you've basically seen in the cinematic. So you have Sylvanas going to burn down Teldrassil. Then you have the Alliance going to invade Lordaeron, basically starting a new war that spawns the events that are going to happen in Battle for Azeroth, where we're going to get new races and things like that to kind of join in our fight. So Before the Storm kind of gives you kind of a good interplay of kind of like what's going on, and that's like the latest book that's come out. You've read it, correct, Elvis? I'm pretty sure. I don't even know why I'm asking.
Before the Storm? Yeah.
Yeah. I love Before the Storm. It really gives you a good perspective on like what's going on. So essentially, like Anduin, who is the king of Stormwind, and Sylvanas basically find out that there is Azerite, and Anduin being like the priesty kind of like, you know, white bread goody two shoes that he is, like wants to use the Azerite to kind of bring peace and things like that. And Sylvanas wants to use it against the Alliance because she wants to kind of recreate more Forsaken, and she can't get more Forsaken and her people without dead bodies. So she wants to take shit over and fuck shit up. So she goes and burns down the World Tree.
Wow.
Which is like, for me, like I see like a lot of parallels like with like Arthas and like Garrosh. Like, you hated both of those people, but you're still doing like the same shit that they did back in the day. So like, are you really any better than either of them? Yeah.
Have you read the Elegies yet?
The what?
The Elegies.
No, not yet.
Okay, so the Elegies are written by Chris Gold, the same one who wrote Before the Storm and several other books for World of Warcraft. She's actually a good friend of mine, and she is now a full-time staff at Blizzard. So she now writes
nice.
Full-on exclusively the story for World of Warcraft to help keep the lore in canon
way through.
So the cool thing about World of Warcraft is it's not always just the kind of the story you get in the game. You get fillers in between the comics, between the books, and everything else. So the Inderlegion leading up to Battle for Azeroth, that's where the story Before the Storm comes in. So you have a book to kind of cover some of the gaps between here and there.
Uh-huh.
And in that book, there's a little bit of subtlety, because you can't have void without light.
Yeah.
And you can't have light without void kind of thing. But they have one true common enemy that the void and the light are both terrified of, that actually comes to fruition in Before the Storm. But it's so subtle, nobody realizes it.
Oh.
And I don't want to give any spoilers away right now. But it's huge. And it does involve Arthas Menethil, the Lich King.
Yeah.
His sister, who supposedly died back at Lordaeron when the initial Lich, all the zombies and the undead attacked. She survived.
Okay.
So it involves her in a major, major way. Her name is Kalia Menethil.
It's a whole bunch of badass ladies.
Oh, yeah. No, there's more of it. So the elegies essentially kind of tell the story from both points of view, not just you doing the questing on the Horde side and the Lion side.
Yeah.
It actually gives you a real in-depth reading to what's going on in the mindset of the Lions, like Anduin and so on.
Yeah.
And the elegy for the Horde gives you a lot of insight to Sylvanas. So while Sylvanas is kind of an asshole, very cold-hearted, but she's like that because she was enslaved by the Lich King because he hated her, and death was too good for her. So he turned her into a banshee and supposed to be a slave for eternity. Somehow she was able to break the mind control. We killed the Lich King before she could. She actually jumped off the tower, the Ice Crown Citadel, to try to kill herself. She landed on a spike of she landed on this spike, which is actually dried up blood from an old god. At that time, the Valkyr came out, and they wanted her, because he actually enslaved the Valkyr. The Valkyr can actually raise people from the dead.
I'm assuming the Valkyr is based off of a Valkyrie?
Yeah. All women. So they offer their allegiance to her if she will lead them instead of the Lich King. But what they also did is one of the Valkyries sacrificed her life of eternity to save Sylvanas from dying on that spike.
Yeah.
So she agreed to it. So now she has a fleet of Valkyrie that go around help raising the dead for her. So Sylvanas' whole thing now, it isn't actually about being this big evil asshole, which we all think she is, and I'm not too far from thinking that myself. She's all about making sure her people survive. Because the undead actually approached King Varian Wrynn and the Alliance to join the Alliance. And they said, no, you're horrible creatures. Because they only remember when they were just slaves of the Lich King.
Yeah.
And they just mindlessly attacked. Now they're free thinkers. Yeah. And like, no, you're disgusting. Go away. So that's why Sylvanas now leads the undead. That's why they're now part of the Horde. Because the Tauren saw good souls still within them. So the Tauren convinced Thrall to let them in, which the Horde is still kind of uneasy about.
Yeah.
So Sylvanas is doing this whole attack on the World Tree because she thinks that King Anduin is actually going to take the Azeroth and create weapons himself.
And then just because we're kind of like running a little over time, you might be wondering, hey, how do we have all of this information and how do we know all this stuff? Like, all this stuff can't possibly be in the game. Well, some of it is, but a lot of it is kind of filled in with, like Elvis was saying, the cinematics and the shorts that kind of come back in throughout the game itself and kind of the in-between set, portions that kind of date back to, I'd probably say, like Mists of Pandaria, where they kind of were releasing these cinematics that were really, really big that bridge stories. And Blizzard has just always been really great at using these cinematics. Back to Warcraft 3, back to Starcraft, you know, they're really, really great at making these. And to Matt's question of, like, why they won't just make a movie, I had the same one. Apparently it cost a lot of money, but they also, like, waited 10 years to release a movie that only did well in China. So, you know, here we are. And there's lots of books and comics. So there, for Warcraft, there are 7 books. For World of Warcraft, there were 18 books, and comics, there are about 30 issues across 5 volumes of comics. So there's lots and lots of information, and none of it's like game-breaking. Like, are you going to be able to quest not knowing XYZ history? Definitely not. But if you want to get that information, it's there. A lot like how a lot of these Star Wars books have kind of supplemented information in between movies. That's basically how this has been working for the last, 14 years. Or more than that, if you go date it back to Warcraft.
I'm looking at 25
years. And not to mention, in-game, you'll find little books around the game itself that actually have more bits of story and lore that you don't hear from actual, in-life books.
In life books?
In real life books.
Yeah, and then real things.
I don't know what an in life book is. I mean,
words are hard.
So apparently how in Elder Scrolls, how everything is like written out in the books that you can go find.
And this is why Matt reads text.
Yes. I press F.
Yes.
And that's kind of like where we're caught up to. I didn't play too much of the beta just because I kind of wanted to be fresh with the story. But Elvis paints a good picture of who's writing the story, and I'm very, very excited about it. There is lots of... All right, so we have some fan, but why those? All these are from our Discord. So I don't know how you want me to read the names. So I just, read the names on the Discord?
Yeah, just read the Discord names. And y'all, if you're listening right now and you want people to come play WoW with, we have a WoW channel in our Discord, and I'm going to put the Discord in the show notes, and you should come join us and play games with us.
And we all play on the Alliance site on Dalaran, so holla at your boys and girls.
I will put all of our server stuff information as well.
And I'll be starting our Horde site as well.
No, Elvis.
Yahweh. Yeah.
So we'll get through that. We don't have a whole lot, but I also don't know how to pronounce a lot of these names, so I'm going to be looking for some assistance.
B-Girl Gymnast.
So I always, read this as, Brigalagarmanest. I thought she was, imitating, a Murloc.
Like a Murloc?
Yeah.
That's what I always thought, her name was. And now I'm just... I want to go back to thinking it was a Murloc name instead of B-Girl Gymnast, which is a fine name, but I think the Murloc thing fits more and is more on-brand to this episode.
Lean into the mic and repeat that Murloc.
That is really good, actually. So B-Girl Gymnast says, I love, and I think that's her Twitter handle as well, so if you want to go follow her on Twitter, I think it's the same thing. So, I love WoW because it's fun and it's a stress reliever for me. Straight to the point. I like that. Burglar ass. All right, so Rain-Villains for Hire. I've logged 1,700 hours over 12 years. You want the Reader's Digest version or the full version? That's a lot of hours, first of all. I wanted to go back before this episode and kind of slash played on all of my characters I have, but I think I would just feel sad that there isn't enough hours played. So then we have Sir Bestia, RFP. I love WoW because I played it in a total of 3 hours in the past 15 years. 2 of those hours in the last week. Yay me. You're missing out, buddy. You could have 1,700 hours played in the last 15 years.
Elvis, where are you at?
I don't want to know. Because for me to look it up, I have to look at each individual character.
Yeah, that's why I didn't do it.
I probably have a lot of time. Yeah. 14 years on that game from this release to now.
Yeah, I'll go back and look at mine and see where I'm at.
I probably only pulled up was a good point that amount of money I invested
in this game. For our last one, we have Captain Yasrian. I've played some version of Warcraft since the demo, and this is in capital letters, D-E-M-O. I think he would like to emphasize that part. For the first RTS came out, Warcraft, Orcs, and Humans, I've watched as they've fleshed out and expanded the lore with each and every iteration. Not only watched, but experienced it through gameplay. Warcraft, Warcraft 2, Tides of Darkness, Warcraft 3, Beyond the Dark Portal, Warcraft 3, Reigns of Chaos, Warcraft 3, for the Frozen Throne, and then into the beta in 2004 for World of Warcraft. And I've also been a non-stop subscriber since. All the collector's editions, the 10-year sub statue, and a lot of time and money invested in it. The gameplay and lore brings me back. I've made a lot of friends through WoW and had a lot of good times. WoW always feels good to come back to, even for an hour or two in the waning days of the expansion. In his Fanboy Wilder, he posted a picture of his paladin with a little pet and said, "Just a Draenor paladin and her Stuart companion against the forces of darkness." And we put up a poll, and at the time of this recording, the Horde had won the poll 47% to 43%, which doesn't surprise me, because...
Wrap this up.
I mean, and that's all I got. I don't know how y'all want to wrap this up, but that's a lot of lore, and we probably left a lot out. But
yeah,
Elvis filled in a lot of the holes in the skeleton that I put out, which I really, really appreciate. Thank you, Elvis, for that. Kate, thank you for all your questions. Matt, thank you for staying on your rocking chair in front of your lawn, telling the kids to get off of it. But more so, thanks for coming back to play World of Warcraft, even after the last episode you said you were going to. To kind of wrap up officially, like, why did you come back? Since, you know, were playing again, I'm playing again. So, like, why did you come back?
Or when I came back in 14, you know?
We talked about 14 on the other episode this time.
Okay, this time? Well, one, because I've just been looking for something to play with everybody. And basically, at this point, everybody that we know, basically between splitting Xboxes, PCs, and then game-wise, this was the one game that was basically common for it to where I could play with enough people in general. Just trying to play with everybody, like, yeah, there's other games I wouldn't mind playing, like a Final Fantasy 14. But then it ended up being either Kate and I with everybody playing over here, or then nobody, or then if we played this game, and so forth. I mean, I do still enjoy WoW, and I always have, but I just know there are other games that I enjoy too.
What about you, Kate?
I didn't want to come back, if I'm honest. I didn't. And I honestly think it's just because, like, when I was sitting in that character creation screen, like, having played Bless and Final Fantasy and, like, all of that, and seeing how developed and, like, pretty the characters were and the worlds were compared to, like, I guess, they're called tombs, so, like, it makes sense, like, the more, like, really, like, older style of what World of Warcraft is, and I understand why it's like that. I was just like, man, I don't want to do this, and then I was like, man, I'm just gonna get yelled at by people for taking too long to do things, but I got a lot of stuff to do, and then I spent my first night on my pally, and I was like, oh, shit. Okay, I like this. And then I came home the next day, and I was really mad that we had to record, because I was like, I just want to play with Pally. I don't want to do this stuff.
And so the addiction begins.
So, like, and it was, like, really just the same thing as Matt. It's like, Matt and I buy these games, and we play them, but, like, it's only us, so we can only go up to a certain level, because we don't have the friends or community to go run these games, like, run, like, dungeons with and stuff. Like, that's why we stopped playing Final Fantasy 14. And so, like, we both enjoy playing games together. So, like, finding one, like, I know that, like, if I fall off for a week, Matt can jump in and play with, like, Elvis and you and, like, other people. I don't have to worry about him just, like, not playing because I'm not playing. And then I also get, like, a whole bunch of people, and it's a lot easier now because, like, everybody in our friend group's really nice, so everybody's kind of been helping me get through this stuff, like, at a quicker pace, because I don't have a lot of time to put into this game, but we all want to play together, so I'm kind of in it now, and I've been kind of getting the itches, because I want to go finish my area, and after listening to all this story, I'm just like, I need to get off Bloodless Isles.
Well, which is why we put you hurry up.
Yeah.
But I guess the one thing as well is a lot of the stuff that they do in this game, I do like. I don't know how much it's relevant anymore, but I've always enjoyed the fishing aspect of this game. I do enjoy crafting and then the battle pets, because there is stuff I can do to still semi-level up. But when
you're old,
I've
already tripled
a game
our
of war and fantasy. I like fishing.
He was very excited when he caught his 100th fish.
I've already tripled our fishing in our guild already. I'm over like 200.
He fished.
I just click the fishing thing, and I'm like, this is dumb. I'm going to go kill a bear.
Nope, I will sit there and fish.
Yeah, but I know you like it, so as long as you're happy, I'm happy.
Dad, you can make a lot of money off of it, because people are like, you guys are lazy.
I've been trying to see how well my self-heals work and shit by just running around and training everything I can, and then seeing how many it takes to kill me. It's also how my armor was broken in the last dungeon we ran.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, she didn't know how to repair.
Oh my god. Okay. Yeah, and that's all I got. I mean, I only came back because I saw the cinematic and I was like, I'm going back. I'm coming. The cinematic is just too good. Like the original one they released, I was like, I'm coming back, and that's it. And now that Stefani has a computer to play with, she loves World of Warcraft. Like, so, like, there's literally like times like where we're eating dinner and we're watching stuff on like Hulu or Netflix or something, and she's like, can we go play WoW now? Like, because she gets itchy, and so do I, so it all works out. So I don't get yelled at for playing too much World of Warcraft, because she plays too much World of Warcraft, so it all works out. And we get to play with people from Stack Up and everything, which is nice. Because the best part of playing World of Warcraft is playing with people, I think. This is why I stopped playing in Legion, because I didn't have anyone to play with, so.
Oh, you never left.
I never left. Azeroth is home.
Okay, why haven't you left?
I did visit Earth.
Well, why have you never left?
Besides the fact that I'm Jewish and I've invested so much money on it, and I'm not going to let back off on my investment. The story is so great, it's so in-depth, and it's so intertwined. I don't read a whole lot of, you know, fantasy story too often. I've never seen Star Wars or anything like that, but this story here has kept me intertwined since 1994. And just seeing it progress and getting deeper and deeper, and them actually creating a backstory to the current story of thousands of years ago, which creates more stories, and just seeing how they keep everything in a chain effect, how this hit this, evolved this, turned into that, just kept my interest the whole time through. I've tried other things. I liked Neverwinter, it wasn't bad, but it's something about WoW that's always had me come back. No matter what I do.
Yeah, I feel that always. Every time, like, not that I don't love playing with Matt whenever he decides to play a new MMO, but every time I play a new one, I'm like, well, this just doesn't World of Warcraft. And then if I get really down to it, I'm like, this just isn't Star Wars Galaxies. And that's where we'll end it, because then I'll start talking about Star Wars Galaxies, and then we'll just relive me being a little lit talking about Star Wars Galaxies. So, you know. There we go. Take us home, Kate.
So this was our first revisit episode. So if you have any episodes from our backlog that you would like us to revisit, go more in depth on and kind of get that stuff that we had to speed through, let us know. Message us on Twitter at @butwhythopc. Email us on info@butwhythopodcast.com, like whatever method of communication, let us know and we can revisit an episode. Elvis, letting everybody know where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at GamingDaddyO, or you can find me at stackup.org. My email address and everything is there.
You can tell them about your Twitch channel.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitch at Draken, DRAKKEN737.
Thank you for coming on, Elvis.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Now, thank you for coming on, Elvis. You're a wealth of knowledge of the world of Warcraft more than I am. So I always like bringing on guests who know more than I do, so the gaps are filled in. I think you brought a lot of great insight and info. So just play more World of Warcraft with us, and I'll be happy.
Of course. I'll probably be on it as soon as we finish this.
My computer is not good. This sucks, because I've just been sitting in this hotel room doing jack shit while Kate's on her PC.
And it's then a Elvis, Mac, sir.
Yeah, but you're doing whatever. And then Elvis has been playing Overwatch and other games, and I got this shitty TV, and I don't even like TV.
My laptop's not.
Meh. Get off my lawn.
I will say this. This was a really fun episode, mostly because this is the first time I'm out of my depth, but like, the first time where I got to see people nerd out, like, in front of me, and like, holy crap, this is what people think when I start talking about comic books and things.
What you think you know about Star Wars is my equivalent to knowledge on Warcraft.
No, I think you know more than she does.
Adrian knows more Star Wars than I do.
Oh, okay. Well,
comic books would probably be my realm.
Whatever you know most knowledgeable about is probably my existence on Warcraft.
Okay.
And we've left out tons of information.
Yeah.
Tons.
I'm sorry, Elvis. There's only so much time.
Look, trust me. I get it. We're trying to fit, you know, over 14 years of information in an hour. I get it.
Which is why we're doing a part two for Battle for Azeroth. So all I hear is the start of World of Warcraft podcast. Okay, as always, you can find me at OhMyMythRandir on Twitter. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me at SuperReese93, SuperRRUIZ93.
Matt?
You can find me, was it Nomark?
Nomergon.
Yeah.
He's hanging out with the lepers.
Don't care.